and welcome to That's Hindsight, a brand new podcast which puts media from the past under the microscope. We look back with hindsight and see whether films from the past hold up today. Today I am joined by...
Oh, is that me?
Yes, you.
Oh, sorry. Hi, I'm Mark Shepherd. I'm here joining Edward and our other presenter.
Oh, is that me?
Yes,
Taylor. Hi, I'm Taylor. I'm here with Edward, Ed, and Mark. While we discuss films of the past. Mm.
I see what you did there. That was a lovely way to come round. How are you both?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yes, very good.
I'm standard, bog standard, pretty good.
Good as you can be.
Is bog standard good?
Yeah, I'd say bog standard. Well, bog standard, it depends what your bog standard is.
Yeah, it depends what your personal bog standard is, I guess.
I suppose.
I wake up happy.
I think the word bog makes it sound like it's not
yeah.
right.
Bog off. What are saying?
Right. Wow.
Tracy Beaker.
Wow.
Tracy Beaker?
I did not expect Tracy Beaker to come into this.
What is Tracy Beaker?
I read the book.
Did you? Did she say bog off in the book?
My sister read the book and it was near me. That's it.
Liar.
He blatantly read the book.
He loved the book.
I don't know. I think I might have read the book. Who knows? Who cares? Yeah.
The audience.
Competition.
Today, we're going to take a trip back to... ...1999!
Indeed. So we said to start with, before we randomly pick years, is each take the year of our birth to start us off on this path, on our journey. So we're taking 1999, which is the year of Taylor's birth, our youngest presenter.
So young. No, that makes sense. So basically, yeah, we'll pick a year each time we do one of these, and then we'll select a film from that year to watch and review and discuss and see whether it holds up today or whether it's, you know, something that should not be touched.
Yes, exactly.
Just to clarify, as it is the year of my birth, I have picked this film. There was some back and forth between Mark and Ed versus me to decide the film. As it turns out, The Matrix was also released in 1999. Sadly, we will not be covering this.
That is a shame, I believe.
Mark and I made very strong cases for The Matrix.
Yes, yes.
And,
there were quite a few good films, actually, in 1999.
What else?
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Define good.
I can't remember now off the top of my head.
There was 1999 was quite, there was quite a few. Yeah. Being, we could have done Shakespeare in Love. Yeah. That might
Silence.
Be not, yeah, yeah.
We nearly had Notting Hill, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did, yeah, we did, that was another option. But Taylor, tell us, what did you choose?
10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh. Is that an okay choice?
Interesting. I have to admit, when you said it, I was not put off by watching it. I just thought, yes, okay. I'll give that a watch. See what that's like. But before we go into all that rigmarole of talking about this film from 21 years ago, let's find out what happened in 1999.
Oh.
And I'll tell you this, I prepared a few facts, and I believe you have too.
Correct.
So, let me tell you this. In the UK, the minimum wage was set at £3.60.
Wow.
That's mental.
I don't know what it is now, I assume it's gone up.
£8 something.
Oh, crazy.
It's not a lot of money.
Really not, that's... How, yeah, I mean, I guess cost of living was lower, but that seems crazy low.
Exactly. Wow. That wouldn't even cover your Netflix subscription.
That's very true. Yeah, oh, that's good. That's a good fact. I like that.
Thank you.
I found out that Napster started this year.
Oh, yeah.
What's Napster?
So Napster was the original file sharing program. I'll say the original. It probably wasn't the original, but it was the first one that people started using to download music.
Oh.
Without paying for it. But people didn't really know what they were doing back then. So everyone just used it and was just like, free songs. And then obviously it became very illegal. And now we don't use it because obviously everyone uses Spotify and things like that.
Convenience won.
But it was a big thing back then.
It was. Well, it was fantastic. What a time to be alive that was. You just type in a track in and be like, I'll just download it.
But
download
you can just do that on Spotify.
Well, yeah, but this is. But back then,
that was major.
You had to download it, so you had to have someone to keep it. And
what would you download it on?
To your computer and then burn it to a CD.
But did we have MP3 players back then?
Maybe earlier, but mini disc. You'll know all about that, Taylor.
I have heard. I know what a mini disc is.
Do you?
It's a CD, but a small one.
That was probably really quite obvious in the name.
PayPal was called one of the worst business ideas of the year.
Wow.
That's interesting, obviously, because literally use PayPal for everything these days. So,
good old Elon Musk.
Is that Elon?
Yeah, he's one of the founders.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'll tell you what happened in 1999. Manchester United won an historic treble. That's never been done before.
For all of those of you who don't know, which will be most of you, Ed supports Manchester United. Moving on to a different one. The Euro was first introduced.
Oh!
January the 1st, 1999. That became legal tender.
What did they use before?
They all had their own currencies.
Francs like in France.
Francs, yeah. And,
Lira, was that Italy?
Why do we like not that. Use the Euro?
Because we're British.
Yeah. Yeah, but why does Ireland use the Euro and we don't?
Because they're an independent republic.
And we don't like doing things that Europe do. Which is why we left, apparently.
Do you wish we had the Euro?
Yeah, a bit easier, wouldn't it?
There's pros and cons.
Pound was very strong for a long time.
Yeah, until we left Europe, the pound was very strong. And now it's in the toilet.
The first ever SpongeBob SquarePants episode aired. I feel like my facts are slightly different to yours. Wow.
That's a great fact. It's good to know.
Have you ever watched SpongeBob?
Do you know what? I've never really watched it, and I always feel like I should, because I feel like it's something I'd probably enjoy.
It's your kind of humour, I think.
Yeah,
I
think I was the wrong age, because I was obviously 19, 20 when that came out.
It would have been uncool to watch.
I really wasn't watching cartoons at that point. I mean, I watch more now than I did when I was a child, but never mind.
Okay, here's a quick one for you. Do you remember the Millennium Bug?
No.
I do.
That was the thing.
So Y2K bug.
They thought that because the dates would change to 2000 and they hadn't written that in the computer code, everything would break. So they thought like planes would fall out of the sky, servers would blow up, all of it.
Who's they?
Analysts, experts, people.
But it didn't.
The news. But it didn't. No,
okay,
proved
good.
To not be a thing.
I mean, most people upgraded their system so it wouldn't.
They
anyway.
Prepared for it.
The worry was that when it would hit 31st of December 1999, that a lot of computers wouldn't go to 2000, they'd go back to 1700 or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. And yeah, they thought banks would crash. It was a mad dash to upgrade everything.
Yeah.
Right. Are we done for facts?
Just one more. Two more. Oh. Highest grossing film of 1999 was Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Ah.
Which. Could have watched instead, but...
Actually, I haven't seen it.
You're not missing much.
And the highest selling album of 1999, this surprised me, / upset me, because I think I also contributed to record, was Backstreet Boys' Millennium.
I don't know.
I don't know it.
Is it. No, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with Backstreet Boys, but are they back?
All right.
Yeah, there you go. There it is. There it is.
Okay, but enough of this. Let's start talking about the matter in hand, which is 10 things I hate about you. Just before we begin, I would like to know what, you know, both of your histories are with the film. Had you seen it before, Mark?
I've seen it on more than one occasion.
Oh.
A film I used to enjoy watching sort of now and again. Easy watch. Not a film I'm unfamiliar with, but it has been a while since I've watched it previously, so this is nice to go back to it.
Okay. And Taylor?
I have seen it before, a long time ago, and I didn't really remember what's happened.
Okay.
But, again, it's an easy watch, isn't it? That's why I picked it.
Yeah. I thought I hadn't seen it before, started watching it, and then realised I had seen it before. Okay, so the film opens up in Tacoma, Washington, and we get some aerial shots, I think, which have been drawn and then coloured in and then turned into real footage.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden we hear the music of who, Mark?
Oh, Bare Naked Ladies. Oh. It's Bare Naked Ladies. That song.
That's the one.
That's the song. It's I instantly write down that's a great start to a film.
You know exactly when this is set.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's a real flavour of the year. So... Taylor, you look angry at me.
I thought it was a different song.
New. Well, then it changes. So then it moves over and we go down to the car and the four girls in the car and that's the song playing. And then we see Kat for the first time. And to immediately establish that she's not the same as them and she's an angry girl, we get rock music. I don't know what it was.
But Reputation.
is what, sorry?
Don't give a damn about my bad reputation. Oh,
that's the one.
See? Yeah.
And she kind of stares them out. It's quite confrontational.
Yeah.
I saw those girls and I was like, that's me. That's what I'd want to be like in 1999 at school.
One of the bubbly girls in the car.
100%
yeah.
RuPaul.
I could see you as that sort of
me
girl.
Too. Yeah. I mean,
you
what?
And you.
But I feel like, you know when Kat rolls up, that's supposed to be the one that everyone relates to, isn't it? And I was like, no.
I don't know, is it?
Well, that's what everyone wants. When I watch a film, I don't know about you, I always put myself as the main character.
You're
supposed to,
relate to them in some way.
I guess so.
Empathize with them.
In my head, I just assumed it was established, and here's one of the main characters. She's an angry person in her battered old car. Like, it very much was a, we need to establish that she's not like the rest of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I did think that was quite a, well, here we go. And then, and then she's walking around school and she's ripping down posters and stuff.
Yeah, for the prom, I think.
Keep that going, you know, real anger moment. And then it goes, then we move to the guidance counsellor's office. So it's all about establishing these characters at the start, isn't it? So then we meet both the two main male characters.
Cameron and Michael.
Cameron and Patrick.
Oh, no, Patrick we meet at that point, don't we? Yes.
Cameron's in there as the new guy. No, are they both new? They are, aren't they?
No.
No, he's not.
He's in there because he's done something. He flashed a Frankfurt at the...
I didn't understand. Did he just use a Bratwurst as if it was him flashing? Or did he do something else and then it euphemistically got turned into a Bratwurst?
Yeah, obviously sort of missed that bit.
Either way, it's inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. But I like that she's also writing erotic novels.
She's so weird.
Mm. It's great,
so
though.
So weird. Like, she's like, oh, you're a bit optimistic. What?
But it's Alison Janney, isn't it? I mean, she's a great actress anyway, and that's just, her in that role, fantastic. But I love the whole inappropriateness of the scene. Yeah. How she happily swears in front of him and stuff. And, like, the shock on his face.
Mm.
Like, you would be when you're at school and someone says, like, S-H-I-T. And you're like, oh, what? Like, never hear a teacher say that.
No.
So, yeah, that's quite good. And then we walk through the school, don't we? And it's all a bit like, he sees the girl. What's it? Bianca, isn't it? That's right.
Bianca.
Yeah, who's the guy that gives the tour? What's his name?
Michael.
Remember. Michael.
That's right, he meets Michael.
What else is he in? The actor? I really Santa Claus. Santa Claus.
He plays Bernard, the head elf.
I'm sure that's not his claim to fame.
I really liked him.
That's his best role.
He's in a lot of stuff. And that's obviously, it's all quite, it jumps in quite quick in this film. So immediately he sees Bianca, which is Kat's sister, and it's like, oh, she's amazing, he needs to date her and all that.
Can I just say, Bianca, played by Larissa Olenek, I think, she played a character called Alex Mack.
Oh, is she Alex Mack?
Yeah, in... on a Nickelodeon program back in the 90s. And I had a huge crush on her when I was younger. So seeing her again, I was like, oh, hello.
Did that reignite some desire for you? Oh.
Then I felt inappropriate because she was at school, so.
Yeah, and you're not.
Yeah.
She gave me proper Clueless vibes.
Clueless?
Clueless,
Clueless?
Yeah.
I suppose so. Like, it's similar sort of, like, it's that...
The daddy.
It's that era, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we move on from there. We're into the classroom and it's more of the angry girl stuff, fighting with the teacher. It's all very much to hammer it home. Non-conformist.
But I feel like they take it almost too far because I feel like people who are like that usually allow other people to have their own opinions.
Oh, absolutely.
And she's very much like, no, I will not accept anything that you're going
to
mention.
Yeah, it takes her to an unlikable state. Yeah. Like, you start off with a bit like, yeah, okay, she's the outsider. But it gets to that point where it's like, you're just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, quickly in the film, I'm like, not a fan of yours.
And we get the first of Mr. Morgan sending her to the office.
Yes, which is...
Which
an amusing part.
A running gag.
I do like how he talks to the class in general. He doesn't take any rubbish from anyone.
I like it when Patrick walks in and he's like, what did I miss? And she answers and he's like, okay, see you later.
Yeah.
Like,
where you go?
I'm not going to stay for this.
That's great. It is good.
And you see Joey Donna for the first time there.
That's right.
Is that the first time?
Yeah.
Establishes himself as a bit of a... A-hole.
Jerk.
Now we've met all the characters, what are, like, start opinions? Of so, like, Patrick, I think, for me, I just think he's an A-hole. He's good looking, nice jawline, but I'm not interested in him.
I would say weird hair.
Would you?
Mm. I like.
I don't think it suited him.
I like the accent.
Yeah, well, I had to remind myself that Heath Ledger was Australian.
Yeah,
is he actually Australian?
Yeah.
I thought he might have been putting it on.
I think it was one of his first US roles.
It's definitely early on in his career, wasn't it? I don't know. I feel like he'd softened his accent a little bit for the film. I don't know what his
possibly, yeah.
Because it's supposedly like he'd only lived there for 10 years, wasn't it?
Mm.
I think you find that out later on. But I quite like his character just because, I don't know, I just like his character. I feel like he's a bit more, got a bit more going for him. Like the other Cameron,
yeah,
just comes across as a bit of a wet fart, really, doesn't he? Just sort of like...
kind of dweeby.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the underdog, though, as such, isn't he? Even though his friend Michael is definitely the underdog.
Yeah. Mm. I just feel like he's a bit too... You don't have enough going for him that you're rooting for him that much. You're just like... Don't get me wrong, I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt anyway. I think he's a fantastic actor.
You would not have bet him to have the career he has based on this role.
What else does he do?
This and Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
It's like, thought he was just going to play this sort of dweeby teenage guy forever. But
he's been in a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Because I think he's quite a bit older than the character he's playing in that film.
I think he was 18 when he shot it.
So. Oh, okay.
What do you think of Joey?
Well, he plays the character very well as just a douchey idiot, doesn't he?
Yeah. I found it hard to distinguish who was in what year. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
I didn't realise that Bianca was a few years younger than the rest of them.
Yeah, I think she's the only one that's younger, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely said it in the beginning, but being British, I didn't pick up. Because we would say, like, oh, they're in year 11 or they're
If I'm right, she's 2 years younger than them. Because I think it goes freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, I think. And she's a sophomore. The rest of them, if it's prom, I assume they were seniors.
Yeah.
They have proms every year, though, at American schools, I think.
But, yeah, well, they'd have a prom every year. Yeah, I mean, because she made a big thing about being the only sophomore that was invited later on.
Mm.
So I guess it's just the seniors that go to the prom. Maybe it's the juniors and the seniors. I don't know.
I think, I don't know, when I was at school, I feel like the years didn't mix much when I was at school.
No.
Like, you stayed in your own year. And that was it.
Well, I imagine that's why it was a big deal
that
she was invited.
Yeah.
Carrying on then. Well, then we end up back in the guidance counselor's office again with her being more of her angry self and getting told to calm down. But then it's... So that's a throwaway scene. But then it moves outside. And this is the first scene where I thought, I wonder if this film's going to hold up. Because it suddenly... It becomes quite tasteless. Like... you see Bianca's character walking along, and immediately someone's response is "Virgin alert!"
Yeah,
like you're like,
"Oh,
wow, okay." It's like seems interesting, and then they all seem to be fighting, like deciding who's going to date her.
Yeah,
like it's not her choice. Like I'm going to date her. Oh, I'm going to, you know, like it felt a bit like because this is based on a Shakespeare play, isn't it? Taming the Shrew. It's
yeah, so like there's going to be quite old-fashioned male and female stereotypes in it. But I did find it like Joey's character when he's just like, I won't do this for money, I'm going to get her just to say I've done it or something like that. And you're like, oh, God.
Yeah, just very much a film of the 90s, that sort of like guys going for the girls, teenage film.
There was a comment that was made between Cameron and Joey, and it was, oh, just save her for the spank bank or whatever. And my notes are erg vom.
Oh, like, Michael, that is such you
mean. A, like
Cameron and Michael.
Yeah, but didn't know that at all.
Just
spank bank.
Spank bank. What a horrible thing like to say.
It's a weird it's a weird scene with a lot of cringy moments.
Yeah.
It doesn't last that long, thankfully.
No. And then we kind of go into the part where they're at home. They obviously are a very wealthy family. It kind of sets the scene, doesn't it, of like this suburbia. And there's the dad.
Dad's a doctor, so obviously.
Is he a doctor?
Well,
he never says.
He doesn't, but he talks constantly about helping with births.
I thought midwife. And then I thought that's a lot of money for a very big house.
Just a, they don't have, do they have midwives in America in the same way we do over here? Because it's, whenever you watch TV shows, it's always a doctor, and it's always a male doctor, obviously, helping like with the birth. I don't know, I've never been in a room where someone's given birth, so I have no opinion on this.
But he seems to be very much against, or he's experienced a lot of teenage girls who've had unwanted pregnancies, and that seems to be his heta, which is a bit kind of, okay, we get it, dads don't like the idea of their daughters.
But he, like, with someone, but... he finds it so unacceptable, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, and that whole, the whole film features around that, which I think is a bit, I don't think that holds up as well.
I mean, he's very protective. And I don't know if we find out then or later on, obviously, their mother left them, or whether that's had an effect. But they never really go into much detail.
No, it doesn't
that,
really, does it?
Which is not necessarily a bad thing, because
I don't think you need to know.
Unnecessary detail, but yeah, he is, he's almost too, he's overprotective, isn't he?
So that's the point when we establish that Bianca won't be allowed to date unless Kat dates. Yeah. And the dad's thinking, Walter's thinking, well, this is a sure thing because she's never going to date. Which I kind of... So this is where I feel Kat's character is a little annoying, because I like the idea... I haven't got a problem with, you know, there being a empowered women and independent feminist,
of course,
in a film. But I find it a bit stereotypical when it's like, yeah, but they're not interested in being in a relationship. They don't want to be in a match. And I'm like, they can be both things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they
absolutely.
Can, like, you can be a feminist and want to have a boyfriend. It's not one or the other.
Do you think it was that was that 90s idea of a female feminist in a film must be single and
won't sufficient. Wear makeup and listen to weird bands.
It's all very stereotyped, isn't it? Which again is perhaps a product of its time.
And then they establish Cameron is tutoring Bianca in French, even though he doesn't actually speak French. He's using it as a method to basically get to know her. Mm. And he asks her if she wants to eat French food. I thought that was sweet.
Oh yeah, it's a nice
moment. And she's like, but then you kind of see in her eyes that she's planning to use him, because Joey's already established a bet with his friends that he can sleep with her by prom. Yeah. So it's, I didn't, at that point, it's where the whole thing is Bianca's character starts off as this girl you don't like, doesn't she? Or she just wants her own way, and she's so fascinated by she's being what everyone wants her to be.
Very vapid, sort of. Like, she's not, you're right, she's not very likeable.
She just laps up being the centre of attention.
Privileged and...
Which she says later on anyway.
But then obviously that sets it up nicely for when they... So they now need to find a date for Bianca. And I do like there's the very short scene where they're interviewing a bunch of random guys. Just the different guys. Just like none of them would be... No. The stupidity of it. The one guy just screams. Fantastic moment.
The idea that they're all scared of her, or just... Yeah. Like, as if because she's... Because
she's slightly angry about stuff. Like, no one would go near her. Like, she's... Yeah, got something wrong with her, which is just a bit silly, really.
I do find that quite funny, though. And I think this is where the character of Michael shines, where he starts going on about, like, we need to find a backer and all that. Like, talking business and everything.
Yeah.
Like he was talking about the white collars earlier on, about how he was head of them. As being chucked out, hostile takeover.
He's got that sort of mind.
And then he goes and sits with Joey, doesn't he, and tries to make that deal.
Yeah, in the canteen, it's a great scene.
Gets that penis drawn on his face.
I found more amusing than I should, but he just sits there and lets him do it.
And tries the handshake at the end.
And just walks away.
I just kept screaming in my head, just like, untuck your shirt, please. Please untuck your shirt.
No. He plays a great nerdy character. He really does. It's those little things that just make it, just sell it really well, don't they?
And then Joey offers Patrick the money, doesn't he? And says, I'll pay you this much if you take her out. And there's a bit of back and forth.
Yeah, that's when we're... Is that where we're on the athletic track?
No, they're by the lock.
They're by the lockers at that point.
Because he only offers $20 at $20 at the start. And I was like waiting to hear, you know, what amount is he going to offer? Like $20? Like, that's...
So he ups it to $50, doesn't he? He gets to 50.
It gets to 50 in the end, but like it's something that this character clearly does not want to do.
Oh, and yeah.
And then like $20, anything to motivate someone to go on a date with someone they don't want to go on. But
no, yeah, even 20 years ago, $20 wasn't like much at all, really. And like you pointed out, it would cost you more to go on a date.
Yeah.
So.
Would it have back then, though?
Probably, because you're buying everything twice, aren't you? Because you're buying yours and if you're...
I remember back when I was younger, me and my sister could go to the cinema, get the train and get popcorn for 20 quid. And I suppose that is the...
Yeah, like now, quid's...
for the cinema, you're looking at £20 alone.
What, $40 back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was 2-1 back in the 90s. So, yeah, that was quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's probably why he was like, that's not a lot of money. Especially if he's the rich kid.
Yeah.
You know, he's clearly got money.
Yeah. Just carrying cash as well in school. Don't think I ever had cash on me when I was in school. Maybe like £2 as a coin.
But it's, yeah, it's that whole thing on it. Money and his flash car and all this and that. Isn't it? But I do remember thinking at this point in the film, it's like really, that's a really complicated setup.
There's a lot of characters.
Yeah, like, so, you know, like, he wants to date her, but to do that, he's got to date her, but also he wants to date her and she wants to date him, not her. And like, oh, I was like, oh my God.
And this is the kind of Shakespeare insaneness comes in.
He has to pay attention to keep up with stuff.
I love the football ground. I wish our school had one of them.
I know, what
it's
an awesome
so
stadium.
Cool.
It's this is the first time when I thought in this film, like, do people in America just wander about when they want? Like, at school? Just like there's obviously like classes going on.
Free periods.
Random people just interfering with the classes, though.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose it's one thing just be sitting in the stadium, but just to be like talking to people who are clearly in a lesson, I don't know. It's just like, you would never get that in Britain.
No.
Like, go chat to someone, you'd be straight to the head teacher.
Unless it's like after school practice or something.
I guess, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
That bit when Michael goes down the hill.
Oh, on his bike at the start.
I was not expecting it at all, and I was just like, how the hell does this end? Is there like a fatality in like the first 20 minutes?
Out of film. But it's, yeah, I like that. I did like that he immediately went in just straight away, just asked her for a date and just like,
yeah.
Like rejection. It's good.
Oh, yeah. That's when you start to like Patrick as a character.
Get some of his charm.
Yeah, he's very charming.
Oh, yeah.
And I think at that point he balances it quite well because he's had a bit of a mystique up until that point that, like, don't talk to that guy because he is some freak criminal that's
dangerous.
Killed
putting
people
his hands
and
in
eating,
the fire.
Eating a duck.
The Bunsen burner.
Which apparently he improvised.
He did. I saw that fact as well. Mm. But you can do that. Everyone did that at school, didn't they?
Everyone used to do that at school. I'm sure they did. But he used to up the ante by turning it to the gas side. That's a pure blue flame. Like, I'm doing it through the blue flame.
I never did that.
Skin's melting.
Yeah, like, it's great. I'm on fire.
Weird thing though, isn't it, that at school you'd sit there with the Bunsen burner, like, as if that was the cool. And in this film it's like, he's so, oh my God, he's so dangerous.
Yeah, he's like, real dangerous.
Drills that text,
a yellow
textbook
flame.
It's just the way he looks, like, in that moment of just the, like, I don't know, I love it, big fan.
It's a good moment. Yeah, but then this whole next bit of the film is just then, it's just him asking for a date.
Yeah,
there is some key, like, moments where Kat hits Joey's car.
Yeah,
that is savage.
It is pretty, it's like, it's almost to the point of like, would she do that really? I mean, I know she's supposed to be this angry person with a rubbish car, but like,
he did,
you know, that's going to cost a lot of money.
He did obnoxiously park.
Oh, he did. Right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong, it's a jerky thing to do, but it just felt like, you would think about the ramifications of this,
true.
Just slam into someone's car.
I feel like when you learn their history, it's a bit more...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, maybe it makes more sense, yeah.
But at this point in the film, you're just thinking, oh,
it's
my God.
Very savage.
And then her dad says to her, doesn't he? My insurance doesn't cover PMS.
Yeah, well, this is it. That's
like,
what I mean.
Oh, God.
Like, that's just money for him that he's got. She would know that that's going to cost money. Yeah.
As this is something Louise, my wife, pointed out while we were watching. And Taylor, you being a fan of My Favourite Murder.
Yes.
At this point, she was like, when you think about Heath Ledger's character, like, and all of his traits up to this point, he is starting to fall into the category of murderer.
Psycho. Yeah. Oh, showing up at the club, didn't he?
Stalking. I wrote later on
that he's a bit of a stalker. He just seems to be like, a bit in the background, a bit creepy.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
Was that club just like a girls' club? Or was it a gay bar?
I was trying to work out,
Club Skunk?
Yeah.
Was it a lesbian club or was... But there was one guy, because I was looking through. It's all women.
There was a guy at the bar.
I was there. But there was one guy dancing in the middle as well. But there was a lot of...
I think it was just supposed to be like a feminine rocker bar.
Why couldn't it strike me as
a lesbian bar.
Did it not?
No, I just found it like just a female rock bar. I didn't pick up on it supposed to be lesbian.
Was this after Cameron had gone through Kat's room with Bianca?
No, that happens later on.
Does that happen later?
No, the only thing that happened before that was they asked for more money. He asked for more money. And then they set up for the party with Bogey Lowenstein, which was just a great name.
Who is that?
The
guy whose house they go to. And throughout the whole thing, like, in the start, they're hitting golf tees, aren't they? Mm. Off of... And it's like, it looks like a teacher and then some students.
He's a student, but he's like an upper class.
Yeah, just proper wealthy.
He looked older, though. Like, he's teaching the younger students.
It's the way he dressed, I think.
Yeah, he's just supposed to look older.
I thought it was a teacher, and then they all just went to the teacher's house for this party. And I was like, what's the actual...
But also they just set up for it.
Yeah.
Then they changed the poster to say free beer to get everyone at this party.
Throwing the flyers
I love that.
Staircase.
I love
Such
that
a good
shot.
Great moment, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you see, this is a bit where and then after that was Bianca and Cameron are walking around under some sort of bridge thing with a big old statue.
Yeah.
And they're all just chatting. And in my head, I'm a bit like, this feels like they're on a date. Like, I don't understand why she can't date on the side, but she can happily walk around with another guy, after school hours. Yeah. It's a bit like they're basically on a date anyway.
Yeah.
It also feels like their relationship's jumped a bit to get to this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like there's something we've missed.
I think we have to go with the assumption that the French classes continue in the background.
They're regular. And
this is something I wrote at the end. I was a bit like, does this film take place over a whole school year? Very hard to work out how long this takes place over. Because...
It must do, because he's come in... It could be a year or it could be a term.
It's at least a term. It's got to be, because there's so many things about it it jumps a lot, but you don't get any sense of time.
No.
Because she's getting university acceptance stuff but prom's obviously at the end of the year I did struggle with the timeline of it.
That's true.
Not that it matters that much.
No.
So this is when we end up at the bar. So they go to the biker bar. Which he's in a biker.
The pool table moment.
When he picks up
That's
the pool.
Amazing.
I've literally wrote down so frustrated.
It's such a good moment though. It's those little moments with him that make him such a great character.
It's such a cringe gasp kind of like, oh my God. But I think
not
Louise
pick
just
it up and he rolls it off the table as well. It's like just no comeback for that. They just move on with it.
Yeah.
But amazing.
I assumed he was going to die again then.
Yeah, just constantly in his own danger. Yeah. And then they go to Club Skunk.
Right.
Get this whole moment where
he pretends not to see her. He eventually shouts, "I'll come to this. I'll pick you up. Come to this party with me. I'll pick you up at 7:30.
That's it, you're skipping ahead now. This is why you should have written better notes, Taylor.
That was in the Club Skunk scene. They meet at the bar.
She's at the end.
I need some aqua. And so then she goes to the bar and gets some water.
So annoying.
Some water. And the aqua. Oh, God. Yeah. And he has because he can drink somehow. He's got all of these connections. Yeah. And so he pretends he's not seen her at the bar.
Yeah, you're right. Because
then he asks her to go to the party. So...
And then he goes, is that a yes?
Yeah.
She says no.
She says no. So he shouts, I'll pick you up at 9:30.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big a jump. My notes are fantastic.
Also, it's 9:30, not 7:30, so...
Well, I prefer parties that start at 8.
Yeah, so then now we're at the party.
Yeah.
But just before the party, and it made me laugh that the dad made Bianca try on the pregnancy.
Before leaving.
Again.
Before you leave, just put this on
just
for a minute.
Just for a minute. Yeah.
Just like, okay, is that going to do a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's when he's turned up at the door to pick her up. but she'd obviously forgot what. It's a bit like, did she hear it? Because she seems surprised to see him.
But I think that was a fake her forgetting, and they'd be like, oh, okay, I'll go.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
Really, I suppose I didn't.
Yeah, possibly.
But then she's like, I'll drive. And then proceeds to get absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah, I didn't realise that she'd driven.
But we
see everyone getting ready. It made me laugh because then the guys are getting ready, and I can't. What's his character's name?
Michael.
The nerdy one?
Michael.
Michael.
Or Cameron. Cameron.
No, Michael. It's Michael I'm thinking of. Who's doing his hair. I don't know if he's supposed to be doing it like Joey's hair, but I'm like, why has everyone got like 50s hair?
Yeah,
and, like,
slicked back.
Like real cream. Cloth, sort of like. Mm. All right, that wasn't a style I remember us all wearing.
When he reaches for that tie, I started getting so upset. Like, don't, what are you doing?
He's a great character.
He is.
Such a good character.
He really is.
And then the party, and I love that, like, literally everyone turns up at once. Like, I know it's a film and all this and that and the other, but, like, it just seemed like ridiculous. Like, everyone descends all at once.
No, I had a party for my birthday a few years ago, and it was with everyone from school, and everybody met at the park before walking down to my house. So it literally was as if, like, it was supposed to be 30 people. If it was like 60 people walked down the road at the same time, and my dad was just at the door like, what have you done?
Did people also turn up with a whole set of turntables and speakers? Because that's what got me.
Kids.
Like, just in case.
Who is this person? Like, I'll come and bring all my gear. My kit.
Yeah, I'm a DJ.
You get them. You do get them. I definitely hear about people who bring their own turntables to, like, pre's at uni. Like, I've heard about these. But, yeah, again, it is... I suppose they know they're crashing.
Yes,
in a way.
I suppose.
So bring your own.
Yeah, like fair enough.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
That my favourite line in the whole film is Bogey saying, "Oh, that must be Nigel with the brie." And and as a side note, in the shot of everyone coming down the hill to the house, the person at the front is Nigel holding the brie.
That's quite good. That's a good night.
But it's also, I hate that this bit as well, because I'm kind of like, just because Bogey's like well off and he's hosting his little cheese and wine night and it's being crashed, I'm just kind of like, I think as the audience you're supposed to like be like, yeah, what twat having a cheese and wine, like, sophisticated evening, yeah, let's get some tunes. I'm just kind of felt sorry for him, like, oh, this poor kid.
I totally know where you're coming from. Like, yeah. I think that's how times have changed a little bit. Yeah. Like, you do, like, that sort of thing's more than acceptable nowadays. But back then, you'd be like, oh, cheese and wine, like, how dare they? Like, no. You do feel bad for when stuff starts getting broken and things like that. And he's just like, oh, bless him. Because at no point in the film is he established as being a nasty character or anything. Just someone who's obviously got a lot of money. And is a bit, perhaps, simple-minded with his golf balls. Just, like, when he's hitting the golfers off and one knocks someone out and he's just stood there looking vacant. That'd kill me. But everything, like, it all kicks off at this party, doesn't it? Like, there's a fight happens.
It kind of all changes now, doesn't
it? Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot of weird people at this party. It's like, man, school is weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a fight and...
And then
she starts getting drunk, doesn't she? Yeah. And this is what made me laugh. But, like, so she's really drunk off about two shots that we see. She's dancing on the table. She slightly taps her head on the light fitting above, and she's got a concussion.
Concussion.
Like, she's obviously got a concussion. She's, and like, it's like, no, that's not a concussion-related injury. You might have a headache. Like,
this scene is where you start to get the idea that something's gone on between Joey and Kat before, isn't it? Because she's like, she sees her sister and she's like, stay away from him, he's an idiot. And she's kind of like worried about her sister. And that's why she's then like, do you know what? I'm just going to drink my, like...
I must admit, I didn't pick up on it. And it's been a long time since I'd seen it and I've forgotten that fact.
Oh dear.
So, and it didn't. But that's, you know, that's...
It didn't, no, the penny hadn't dropped with me at that point.
No.
Definitely, that's where I got the vibe.
I think I was concentrating more on the fact that I noticed Bianca was being turned off Joey.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, as well.
And that's a big part of that, isn't it? That scene where it turns out that he's just got no personality.
When he starts doing those poses, and he's like, do you see the difference? And I know there's not supposed to be any difference, but I was really looking for one. I don't think there is. Yeah, he's got a hemorrhoid advert.
Yeah, he's really pleased.
Tube socks.
And then, of course, obviously, so she gets too drunk.
When he puts her on the swing, it's like, as if going on a swing. And then she instantly falls back off. And then gets back up. And then she's all right. And they have like this serious conversation. But it's like, and he likes the fact she doesn't care that he's like supposed to be this scary character.
Oh, yeah.
Does she? Is this where their relationship starts to form?
Yeah, more than anything. Because there's a real lingering moment, isn't it? Where they're both looking at, like, oh, you've got green eyes or something. But I like that's instantly punctuated with the fact she throws up.
Yeah.
It's quite good because it's just like, this is getting a soppy. Oh, no, it's good. So then they go home. Then he takes her home. She's stone sober in the car.
Yeah.
I was like, what? How far away was this party?
Speaking very coherently.
Yeah.
All of it. Which I think makes, because obviously she goes in for a kiss and I think Patrick is trying to be a gentleman.
And
not kiss her because she's just had a load of tequila rather than just being like, you've thrown up or whatever. Yeah, I don't really get why she was that mad.
The drama after it, the solemn song, and I was just like, wow.
After rejection, it does feel a bit. I've definitely had a few rejections in my time and been like, it definitely damages your ego a fair amount.
Maybe that's it. It felt like such a raw moment in the film, like real. It's not all right. Maybe it's the way he does it.
Maybe,
perhaps I never thought about it from that point of view.
When I've been swerved, I've then been like, what have I done? Why? Like, am I ever going to live this down? But obviously no one knows. And then it's just that whole relationship crumbles for a scene or two.
Yeah. But then I like, because then similarly, obviously Cameron drops off Bianca. His solid approach is, I'm going to tell you off.
Yeah. Goes really in on that.
And I thought to myself, like, did they not talk for the entire drive home?
No.
Just looked like it was just sat there in silence and then they have a conversation. Like,
I think fair enough though. Definitely cooler on it.
I guess so.
Like, and then it's just, I like the fact that her solution is, okay, I've been stupid. Do you know what I mean? That's what that kiss is kind of saying, because after that she shows no interest in Joey again.
Yeah.
But I also feel like Cameron is acting a bit like he's owed something for what he's done.
And
it's
a bit like, a little bit.
You're not owed anything. Like, what? But I understand why he's frustrated, because she did lead him on a little bit.
But you see, and then this put the film, so the next day, I assume it's the next day, it must be, or the Monday after, they're back at school and they're all ripping her for being drunk. But it's at this point in the film where they seem to really ramp up the Shakespeare factor.
Mm.
Like, up until this point, there's been nice subtle drops, like little lines here and there, which are quite nice. It reminds you that it's based on a Shakespeare play. But then, and now we're like write a Shakespeare sonnet. I like he does his rapping sonnet, which is quite good. And then Kat's mate, who we've barely seen up until this point,
called Mandela.
Yeah, Mandela has a picture of Shakespeare in her locker. And like, she's like, I'm in love with him and stuff. And it's just like, what?
Where did this come from?
All of a sudden, out of nowhere. It's almost like they felt like they had to pair off Michael by the end of the film. So it's just like, oh.
We need some freak for Michael.
Yeah.
Apparently in the original script, that was supposed to be, I don't know if you read this, supposed to be much darker. The Mandela character kept going on about wanting to commit suicide to be with Shakespeare.
Oh my God.
I'm glad they turned that back.
And then, I found Cameron and Patrick now seem to be like good mates.
Can talk
just
freely.
Just having a chat on a bench outside. At the start of the film, they're scared to death of him. And now they're just chatting away. And it's just like, this is at this point, I'm like, how long has passed?
Yeah,
have they been chatting a lot? Have a friendship formed here? But that's enough. I do like any of these scenes where they're on the track area are great, because like when that teacher gets shot in the arse with the arrow, it's just, you really feel for it. Like, oh my God, that's right in there.
But Kat's reverted to her the start of her film self, hasn't she? She rips down the prom poster.
Yeah.
She's all angry again, basically. She's back to full circle until they come up with the solution, which is, I'd say, the most iconic film. Definitely my favourite part.
Well, I liked it because this is the bit where I wrote just before that, where it's another dramatic montage where he's stalking her again. And he can't approach her. I'm like hovering behind. And, like,
in the library.
The music's playing. So it's like, oh my God. All right. But yeah, then I did. Yeah, all right. That's the most infamous scene now, where he sings, you're just too good to be true over the PA. But it is one of them great moments where you're like, oh, it's coming now, this is good. And the band starts playing. And it is,
when that band pipes up, it's like,
it's proper awesome. Good.
It's the running that I love, where he's when like he runs, ditching the security.
And he pats him on the bum as he runs past. It is a fantastic moment.
There was supposed to be a different song for that, and the actor, Heath Swager, I persuaded them to change it. Let me find out
because that's a good choice of song, I think. The marching band works well with that.
It works perfectly. That's...
It does.
So good.
Yeah. I couldn't work out if it was him singing. It sounded like
it. I think it is. Yeah. Because it's like... good enough, but
it's
not good.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a bit flawless. It was a bit flat at some point. Yeah. And I thought, I do think it's him singing it. Mm. Obviously dubbed over. But...
so cool when he just slides down that pole.
Yeah, it's such a great moment.
It makes me think, why wasn't I called in high school?
Yeah, wow. Then he gets put in detention.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
So then she comes to break him out of detention. Like it's another great scene where obviously she's trying to talk to the teacher while he's trying to sneak out the window.
Mm.
But the fact she flashes him at the end and there's no repercussions.
No.
She's just allowed to walk out of the room. I was like, what?
Too far.
Like, wow.
There would be a whole investigation if that happened.
Yeah, it's just like, but just like, oh, that happened.
Yeah. Was it before this that he's been paid to take her to prom?
Yeah, that's just so, before that bit. It's before the song that he gives him £300, $300.
To pay for the limo to get him to take her to prom. Yeah. He doesn't want any part of it because I think at this point he's actually started to like her.
Oh, yeah.
But he just wants out. £300 is like...
and that's where you know it's going to come back later.
I hate those moments in the film when I'm just like, oh, I just want... she's obviously this is going to find out at some point. So I just want that to happen now.
Yeah.
Can we just get it done?
Let's get to that dramatic moment now. Yeah. But, and then, you see, I like this, but the next bit, they're paddle boating in a harbour. It seems like such a thing that neither one of them would do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I'm guessing it's probably the angle of it, and obviously it's green screened to a degree, but, like, it just feels like they're in a bit of a shipping lane.
Literally miles away from
them. Just on a paddle boat, and I was just like...
Have you ever done a pedalo in the sea?
No.
Not the
it
sea.
Is horrific. Yeah, I've done one. The wind, the waves. Like, when we did it, my other half jumped off and was swimming, and I was just going out to sea. I couldn't do anything on my own. It's awful.
It felt really weird. Like, it just didn't feel like something either one of them would do. Like, let's go and get a pedalo. Like, what?
Yeah.
The paintballing bit afterwards felt more like that.
Yeah.
But it was...
not paintball, paint ballooning.
What is paint ballooning? Is this a thing?
I don't know whether this is like the origin of paintballing, that it used to be that, and then...
it's a much safer way of doing it.
Yeah.
It sounds more appealing to me, but...
what I didn't like is at the end, they take off their goggles to kiss, and then start throwing paint at each other again, without goggles.
Well, I like... that is not safe. I literally wrote that, it's a literal roll in the hay. Like, land in the hay. Yeah. And yeah, then carry on. It's just like... oh.
I don't get it. What roll in the hay?
So a roll in the hay is like
a euphemism for having sex.
Okay. I didn't get it. But then they get back to her house and they're not...
nice and clean.
They've got a bit of paint.
Well, I thought this as well, but then there's one point where she sort of walks past the camera and her hair is literally fully painted. And I suppose they were all kitted in overalls and stuff, weren't they? So I was going to be like, but... no, I did think that actually they have got a fair bit of paint still on. But that's when he asks her the problem. And like, she immediately like thinks there's something going on. Like, would that be your first thought? Like, what's your motivation on this?
Why are you pushing this?
Like,
because he tried to be persistent.
Yeah,
was enough for her to be...
I want you to go to the prom.
What is this?
Yeah,
I mean, she was right.
What's in it for you?
But, yeah.
I just don't think someone would be that suspicious to think that there was some plot going on. And then there's little snippets here, like, say, something all of a sudden, like, Bianca can now speak perfect French.
Yeah. Like, oh, and she's like, why don't you ask me out?
Yeah, but I just made me laugh that she can speak perfect French.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, has this been over the course of a year, like you say?
Yeah, it's little bits like that. I was just like, how long has this been for? So this is when we find out that Kat dated Joey and they had sex. Although it's never actually said, she just sort of looks and glances and it's just like, like they can't say it.
Well, I didn't understand this because she said, and we never did it again, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, until the party the other night.
She never did what everyone else wanted her to do.
Oh, okay.
Until the other night when she got drunk, but...
but it made me laugh because it's a real dramatic scene. And then, so she goes out the room. She's like, thanks. Sits on the swing and Kat's like, all right, I'll go to the prom.
Like, did no one know was going, like, did no one know they were dating? Because I know that he never told anyone that they had sex because she threatened with the cheerleading squad, but surely people would have known if they were seeing each other.
Perhaps. I mean,
if they were going out for the course of a month, but maybe it's outside of school, you don't see it.
Everything goes around school.
But I suppose, why would you know? I mean, you don't, I don't know. I don't really think about that, I must admit.
Mm.
And then finally, obviously, we get to the prom now. The big moment. And I'm always impressed with these venues they have. I mean, is that a real thing like that? That venue there, I suppose it's supposed to, I assume it's supposed to be a rich place anyway. It's a rich school. But the venue's another level.
It really is.
Her hair, not a fan. Cat's hair.
Cat's hair, yeah.
And Bianca's prom dress, not a fan, but...
I did also, wasn't really a dress, was it?
It was a crop top. And
it was a weird ensemble. But I liked Cat's dress.
And they both had them. Just lying around.
Well, because they make a point of it, don't they? They both say, oh, just a tux, or just... happened to come across it. It's almost that thing where it's just like they all really want to go to prom. I get is how I sort of looked at that bit. And finding the Shakespeare nerds get together, which is
he's left the dress. Is,
yeah, it's a sweet moment, but at the same time, it's a bit like just
her hair was hard to compute when I looked at it. But he looked more like Austin Powers than Shakespeare.
Yeah, it didn't look like a Shakespearean outfit. Really, I was. Because I couldn't remember what it was. And when I saw it, I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting. But then there's that singer up on the stage. But like, I had no idea who she was.
No.
And I was like, I'm guessing she was famous
some
then.
Some kind of...
But like when you're watching it now, you're like, who is this?
Apparently they are a band called Letters to Chloe, or Cleo, I think. But they really got their money's worth out of them throughout this film, didn't they?
You know... This is going jumping a bit, but you know, at the end there's a scene with the band, the same band playing on the top of
the
roof.
Yeah.
It cost £500,000 each time the helicopter took off. So
That's impressive that they got the whole band up on that roof.
It's a tiny space.
There's not a lot of space. And the only thing I could see was a small hatch.
Yeah.
Like, so did they get did they airdrop it down? I was like, that was impressive.
These days you just send a drone up, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you would, yeah.
Letters to Cleo.
I've not even heard of them.
Were they a popular band?
I've never heard of them in my life. No. Maybe they're more popular in America.
And then he brings the girl on, doesn't he? Oh, I call the girl from the club. The blonde one, the singer.
That's what I mean.
And he's like, I pulled in a favour.
How awkward is that, though? She walks through the crowd, walks up to them, sings a line, and then walks off again. No, I'm just like, if that was you, like... having that experience happen, wouldn't you just be looking at like, this is so awkward?
Yeah. Very, very weird moment. Then they find out about the paid date, don't they? And that's when it kicks off again.
Oh, it's so cute going back at the door where he knocks and it's like Cameron's there for Bianca. And he's at the door in his little tux and the dad's looking like, this was a very bad idea.
Oh.
Like, what has gone wrong? And he's just so cute, like, oh, I like that.
I like it. I mean, and then
the dad goes to shake his hand, and he goes to do it back, and then she grabs his hand.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
That's sad.
But then, obviously, and then he gets punched at the prom.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I like the fact that she proper lays into Joey.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good moment. It's just like, oh, actually, finally, the women.
That's for her and Kat.
Yeah, get to stand up for themselves a bit more, because it just feels like they're always a bit like.
And he complains about his nose. Got, you know, I've got a nasal spray ahead tomorrow.
Really good. And obviously they have their argument about the money.
Yeah.
She leaves and now we're on brooding on the balcony again.
And like any rom-com, now you're like, it's impossible for them to get together again now.
How will they ever?
This goes from here to the end ridiculously quick.
I was just like, there must be another hour left of this film.
Insane. It's like they just
finished. Yeah, you're not wrong.
You are absolutely correct.
I suppose, I don't know if that's how Taming of the Shrew goes. I've never read it, but...
No, never.
But that's what a lot of these films are. It's a bad moment, then it's the end. Bad moment, all resolved, finished. But it is obviously at this point we get the literal title of the film, the poem, 10 Things I Hate About You, which I will admit that until this watching of the film, I'd never put the two together, that the name of the film was the sonnet she reads.
Yeah.
But it's a powerful moment.
Yeah.
I like it.
Real tears.
Apparently done in one take.
Yeah.
And real tears.
Oh, really? Yes, because she even stammers a little bit over the line. And I was like, I like that they've left that in.
Yeah.
It just, it feels real. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did like that moment. And I like that he doesn't immediately get up. It lets the moment land. Like, it's a lot of films, she'd run out and he'd run out after.
Yeah, in my head I was going like, run after her, go and
but
get her.
It's, like,
and
it's quite good because it just feels like it really sinks in.
How it turns out, I'm glad it worked out how it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Then it literally jumps to the end of the film.
Yeah.
Because then she goes to the car and there's a guitar in there.
And he's going to do all the money.
So oh, there's a quick callback to the earlier scene where she was playing a guitar while he was stalking her.
The thing is, earlier in the film, like, this is one thing I didn't really like, is Patrick's character development was poor. Like, you find out all the rumours about him aren't true and whatnot. Yeah. But you never find out why he's the way he is. Why is he such a loner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all you find out is that he was sat with his granddad for a year or something.
Yeah.
While he was ill. Which is fair enough. But yeah, like, why did he not create this mystique?
Did he not want to talk about that?
Yeah.
It's all thrown away at the end. And I feel, but this is the point, sorry, with Kat, I'm a bit like, oh, she's a bit materialistic because she doesn't hug her dad until he pays for her to go to college.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Patrick's forgiven. Because, yeah.
But it made me, I thought to myself, Fenders aren't cheap. I mean, even if he took the $300 and the $70 or whatever, or $50, like, that would cost a hell of a lot more.
Because it wasn't as like a Squire, because they do like a cheaper Fender. That was like a full-blown Stratocaster or whatever
it was. Wow, that would have cost a lot of money.
Grand.
It's like, oh, here's a Fender.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Yeah, okay, we'll forgive him. Happily ever after.
Although she does say, you can't buy me a guitar.
Yeah, but like, clearly does seem like that's the case.
Yeah.
But it's a nice ending. I mean, they all get together. You must have liked the ending, Taylor, because you love a... You
happy
like to see
ending.
The right people with the right people, don't you?
Yeah, I did like the ending, but I did feel it was very rushed. It didn't give me much time to digest. Do you know what I mean? Like, the whole film. Mm.
And I feel like Cameron and Bianca, I'm glad they worked out and everything, they suit each other. But I also feel like nothing really bad happens to Cameron other than being punched. And he did, like, mastermind this plot.
Yeah.
To have someone pay to go out with someone else.
Yeah, he doesn't really get much of a come up, does he? Apart from a punch.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want personally. But
no, I feel like no one really calls him out on that.
No.
Just gets everything he wants.
He's a new kid though. He's moved around a lot.
Yeah.
But it's good. And then it ends. But I wrote here, the band on the roof is impressive because I did. But that's one of those films where I forgot there was outtakes at the end.
I didn't watch the credits.
Oh my God.
I thought some of those outtakes quite awkward. And I don't know whether that's because
some of them, like, it's very weirdly sexual vibe to them. But I realised that one of the outtakes I still quote now. I still shout, I want some coffee! Just like, it's something I've always said, and it's like, oh yeah, that comes from here, of course it does. But the very last one where the Michael character is, they're pretending to like be doing it on the floor, he just wants to have a prophylactic. I was dying. I don't know why that got me so much.
But
rewound it and watched it again. Always watch films to the end, Taylor.
I watched them start rolling, the trailers, the credits.
Yeah.
And then I turned it off.
So you didn't watch it till the end?
Do you watch it all the way to the end?
Always.
Yeah. Always.
Always watch the credits.
Ever since Fast and Furious. The very first Fast and Furious has something right at the end and you would never expect it in that sort of film. Like, ever since that film, I'm like, I will always watch the credits now.
I could never.
Only Marvel films.
There's a website, isn't there, that tells
you. Oh, yeah, there's a lot to tell you. Yeah. You don't have to. But I left it because I was still furiously scribbling notes anyway. So there you go.
Well, 10 Things I Hate About You, Taming the Shrew. Do you get it?
I until you said it, I had never put that together either.
No. In hindsight, I don't think it holds up to 2020. But I think it's very different between America and the UK. Do you know what I mean? Like the school, the whole inappropriateness of teachers and things.
I think a lot of it is done not to be realistic of a school, but to
funny.
Be, yeah. And I think it's something I put two and two together with afterwards. I looked up the writers I think the director had come from doing like TV sitcoms. And all of a sudden I was like, I get, like, some of the dialogue starts to make sense. It's like, oh, yeah, it was a bit sitcom-y at some points. And, some of the conversations, like the guidance counsellor conversations like that feel very sitcom vibe.
Yeah, because they're very, like, they're right at the start and then never again.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and that's quite a sitcom-y thing. It's like, throw a character in and then leave it.
And we'll make her ridiculous in a kind of this character would never exist because she would be fired.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What's her name? The teacher's name?
Miss Perky.
Oh, there you go. See, in hindsight, I said personally, I think it's still an entertaining movie that you can watch now, but it's just very 90s.
It is funny.
But I don't feel like watching it now, I wasn't offended by it, or just it is just very much it has a very 90s vibe to it. So you just got go with that. But you know, I would recommend it to someone. It's an easy watch.
Yeah. Definitely an easy watch. I don't know. Like, Taylor, do you find it like a time capsule of the 90s, or did you think I can't relate to any of this? Or
I don't know, because I wasn't around for the 90s. 99 was my appearing year, so I don't really know too much. I did like it is watchable, but I just it is dated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the hindsight we're looking for. But
yeah. Well, it's like I can watch shows that are set in like 80s high school and can appreciate in a kind of like, oh, that's what it was like in the 80s.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know if this is what it was like in the 90s, but maybe it was.
I mean, I obviously didn't grow up in America, so I don't know if that's Americanized, but it's nice seeing the fashion again and thinking like, oh, some of the shoes that people used to wear, like those thick, like hit, like soled open-toed shoes and stuff like that. And
It was quite amusing, like Bianca, when she talks about that, she has a dress at one point and she's wearing those pearls and she's looking a bit like Jackie Kennedy at one point. And you're like, was this a fashion? Like, if someone turned, like someone popular at school turned up looking like that, they'd be like, what?
Definitely. Yeah, that's good. I would recommend for an easy watch, in hindsight, still watchable.
Yeah, agreed, I'd say.
Yeah.
Agreed. I like that. We're all on the same page.
Great stuff.
Excellent. Well, and with that, it brings us to the end of the show. So next time we do this, it's going to be my choice of film from the year 1987, the year of my birth.
Oh, cool.
And I've decided to go with a little number called Lethal Weapon.
A fine choice, if I may say so, sir.
Which I don't believe you've seen, Taylor, so that'll be a brand new experience for you. I've not seen it in a few years, so I'm excited.
I haven't watched it in a couple of years, but I feel like I know it well enough that I could talk about it for an hour now anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So
but until then, we shall say goodbye. I shall say goodbye. Mark?
Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Taylor?
Toodaloo.
Thank you very much. You can subscribe to us on your preferred podcast platform so you get every episode as it's released. If you like the show enough to give us some love, we'd love it if you head over to Apple Podcast and give us a review, as this helps us to get some exposure.
Love it.
You can get in touch via thatshindsight@gmail.com, and you can follow us on the social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter. It's @thatshindsight, and Instagram is @thatshindsightpod. Don't forget the pod. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.